Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Fresh Squeeze Podcast with yours truly, Nadine. I am so excited about this episode. This is the longest episode I've ever had on here, and hopefully that's a good thing for you, but I know it's a great thing for me and my guest speaker because the conversation was good. As we talked about ADHD and productivity, we shared a lot of great hacks that you can use whether you have ADHD or not. I think they're amazing life hacks, and I can't wait for you guys to get into it. But first, let's talk a little bit about what ADHD is. So ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It is a neurological or psychological disorder. ADD, which is attention deficit disorder. You may have heard ADD and ADHD used interchangeably, but they are not the same thing. So ADD is no longer the medical diagnosis. Doctors don't diagnose ADD anymore, but ADD is often used to refer to the same symptoms as ADHD. Now, plot twist, ADHD is now called predominantly inattentive type ADHD. Since 94, doctors have been using ADHD to describe both the hyperactive and the inattentive subtypes of ADHD. In this episode, you'll kind of see that my guest speaker has hyperactive subtype of ADHD, and I think I'm more so the inattentive. My special guest for this episode is DJ Howard. DJ is a hemp advocate, and he is a hemp enthusiast, and he also owns a CBD treats business called Saved by the Treats. And as always, make sure you leave a review, leave a rating, and share it. Enjoy. Thanks so much for joining me on this podcast recording to talk about something I feel like a lot of people don't really know about. And there's a lot of common misconceptions about ADHD or ADD. And so thank you for joining.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited to talk about this. This particular subject obviously hits home for me. So, you know, it's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us about the time you found out you had like ADHD, like what was that like?
So when I found out, I was actually a freshman in college. So I guess by certain standards, I found out late in the game. I had came home for Christmas break and found out that my mom and my sister both had ADD. And they thought it would be a good idea for me to go speak to the doctor they spoke to. So I did the whole evaluation. And that's when he told me, he was like, you know, I would like to run some other tests, maybe put you on some medication. I believe you have ADHD. And at the time, I've never really been big into like pills or anything like that. It's not my bag.
Yeah.
So I kind of just rejected it. I was just like, whatever, and never went back. My mom, she fusses at me to this day about it, but I just never went back, because not that I didn't believe it. I just wasn't trying to do what he was trying to have me do. And I kind of started figuring out life, you know, and how to maneuver with whatever it is that I was dealing with, which again, at that time I found out it was ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So it wasn't like a childhood thing. You were like an adult.
I mean, looking back, I definitely noticed and knew then that something different was going on. Just little things that I would be doing. And
well, tell us about that. So what were like, when you recall, what were the challenges that you like faced as a child?
So, you know, in school, one of the misconceptions is that people just act out. And it's not necessarily that we act out. It's I truly did have a passion for certain things and really put my all into those things.
Yeah.
And then there was things that I just wasn't as interested in.
Right.
And those things I did not pay attention in class. Like, I would write poetry, I would daydream, I would do work for other classes, write football plays. I would do whatever, but pay attention. History was a classic one. Yeah. Did not like U.S. history.
Yeah.
Maybe because then I knew that they was lying to me, but I hated history class. Yeah. So I just didn't pay attention. I constantly got threes in conduct, and he never, ever gave me a B. If I had an 89.4, he wasn't even asking me if I wanted to do anything to bump it up to an A. He was giving me that B. Like, he just didn't care because he knew that I was in class and I didn't care.
Yeah.
But that was one of those subjects. Other subjects I would do really well in, but then even still, it would cause issues because I would always try to get ahead. I would finish first. So I would be trying to go ahead, and then I would get in trouble because you got to stay with the class, or I'd be doing homework that we were supposed to be doing in class because I had finished whatever we were doing in class. So that created issues as well.
I had classes with students like you.
You had classes with students like me?
I specifically remember students like you.
what you mean? No, we were good students.
Good students is just like you were over. You could tell you was over it. You had other stuff you wanted to do. Like, you're not interested.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that carried on in college, which is why, like, you know, I ended up changing my major a couple of times before I figured out, okay, I pretty much like every class that I have to take within my curriculum. I can do this. Because when it was not that way, I was not doing well. Like, it was just something I dealt with. I used to make up little games because I knew I would not focus. So I used to make up little games in my head.
My hacks. Oh my gosh.
Oh, am I getting ahead of myself?
A little bit. That's fine.
Okay. My bad. It is a hack, I guess, when you think about it. But yeah, at the time I thought I was struggling. It's crazy. It's a hack now, but at the time I thought it was a struggle. I thought it was something that I was like, I got to do this to do well. I don't know why, but I'm going to just do it.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. It is a hack. I guess we'll talk about that later.
And I can't wait to share. But yeah. Like, for me, I got diagnosed in 2018. And so it was after as a child, as a student, I actually enjoyed history class. So, I enjoyed history. I enjoyed English. Anything with reading and words, I enjoyed.
That was the other class I didn't like.
But I don't know. I was overall a good student. Like, I think more so for me, the hyperactivity came with my mind, now that I think about it. But I didn't really start noticing that there was a quote unquote problem, or I didn't notice I had a superpower until.
I like the way you turn that around.
Yeah. I didn't know I had a superpower until, you know, I was a working adult. Like, so in 2018, I'm like, you know, usually I'm productive. I can do a lot with little. During this time, I was just struggling. I was forgetting stuff. And I realized I've always really been forgetful too. But it was just a struggle. Like, for example, if I'm leaving the house and I got, let's say, three things with me that I need to carry to the car, I would set my stuff up ready, you know, it's aligned, it's in view for me to grab. I would grab what I think is everything. I walk out, oh shoot, I forgot something, go back, and then forgot something else. And so by now, maybe walk from the car into the house, before leaving, go to work, three or four times already. So I started noticing things like that. It was happening a lot. And so I think I realized that I was, you know, my concentration and focus was just not there. And so went to therapy, and then I had an amazing therapist who would just, you know, she not only diagnosed me, but explained what was happening in my brain. I felt less crazy. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know that with ADHD or ADD, or combined inattentive hyperactivity disorder, whatever they're calling it now, is that, you know, you have like, and you can look this up because I could be totally wrong what I'm calling it. It's very scientific, but like something's not connecting in your brain. So something's not being transmitted. She said something to your frontal lobe. So look it up. But it's literally, and I might be jumping ahead of myself with misconceptions, but like it's literally a neurological issue that you have. And so I didn't realize until an adult, and that's how it manifested itself. But well, let me ask you, like, what, as an adult, like, you know, in your college, what challenges did you face? Like, because I know you find out from your family, and then like, what did you start to pick up and notice, like, you did that was off?
So like with my family, they had ADD, which a lot of people don't know that there is a difference in the two. So we didn't necessarily have the same, I guess they call them symptoms, that we were dealing with. But as an adult, it's interesting because granted, I was somewhat of an adult when I found out, but I've known for like some time now. Like, it's interesting you found out in 2018. That means you've known for like 2 or 3 years tops. So, you know, that's interesting. I'm really, you know, curious to hear your perspective about that. But being that, like, I've known for so long and I didn't realize that there was something wrong with me or that I had a superpower until late in the game. And so I had already started creating solutions. But as I've gotten older, the symptoms kind of manifest themselves in different ways. Like, you know, when I was younger, it was constantly in my head. It was like a mental thing. Mm-hmm. Now, as I get older, I have responsibilities. You know what I'm saying? We do this whole adulting thing that 0 out of 10 do not recommend. I find myself being more physically active. Like, I'll get up and do stuff. Like, instead of like, if I get disinterested or if I lose focus, I find myself almost making excuses or reasons for myself to get up and do something else, like get up and straighten up or, you know, sweep or wash the dishes or something. And it'll be like middle of the day. It's like totally not time to do that. Like,
okay. So it's more so physical hyperactivity.
Yeah. It's more of a physical thing. Like, I always am getting up and down, like, ridiculously. Like, it's crazy. I've, without getting too far into hacks, I've had to learn how to manage that and deal with that to remain productive, because for a time it really did affect my productivity. Like, it would be, especially when I was working at a job I did not want to work at, and I liked the work that I did, but I was tired of working where I was working, so I was kind of over it, as you would say. So I used to find reasons to like get up and do stuff, even when I was at the building or if I was working from home, I would find reasons to get up and do other stuff totally unrelated to work just to avoid doing it because I didn't want to do it. Yeah. I wasn't happy doing it.
You were subconsciously distracting yourself because you weren't interested, which
right.
Really, like with a lot of people with ADD or ADHD, you know, that's how you get the flow state. You know what the flow state is, right? Like, being in flow with something, the only way that you can really feel like you're in flow and focused and deep, like you're in deep work, is if you're actually interested. And if you're not interested, everything will distract you. So I get that.
And see, so I've had it, you know, I've dealt with it and I've known that I've been dealing with it for longer than you have, at least from a, you know, finding out standpoint. But from a scientific standpoint, I guess because I just like rejected the doctor, I was like, whatever, I'll find my own ways to live life and like avoid all this just because I didn't want to take the pills. But it kind of just grew into like a lifestyle of just being like, whatever, I'll figure it out. The flow, it totally makes sense. No, I was not aware of it, but it totally makes sense because in my life, I have found that as I get older, I have to pretty much everything that I do, I have to be interested in some sort of fashion. Oh, I have to make it a game.
Right.
Because if not, then I'm not going to be with it. Like, and it really affects how well I do those things. So that's a big reason why entrepreneurship has been so, you know, rewarding for me, because I just get to do the things that I want to do. That flow, I have had to turn it into like a lifestyle as an adult, because that's the only way to move forward for me, honestly, and to live and be happy. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's good. Did you feel like, or did you get a chance to try the medication the doctor is like?
All right. So when I was in school at USF, go Bulls, there was a point in time where I took Adderall during, you know, finals. I had a lot going on. Now, I can't remember if it's, I believe it's Ritalin that typically is associated with ADHD. I can't remember if it's Ritalin or Adderall. Again, it's Adderall. I don't really, it's Adderall?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Ritalin, but I know
for sure. Okay. Adderall. Okay, so I took it in, you know, that time, just based on everything I had going on. I was very active in school. It was finals, probably a class that I was not that interested in or was over with for the semester. Yeah. So yeah, at that time I took it. And what I will say is, and I took it another time too. I took Adderall. I actually got it from my mom. Cause you know, she takes it regularly, but she had a very strong dosage. And when I took it, I realized why I don't take it on a regular basis, because it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was on like speed or something. Like, I was like, no way, I should not be this.
Yeah. And people take them for like, for pleasure. Like,
for real?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just, so
I think there's like a whole Netflix documentary about Adderall. Like, they'll take them, it's like another form of cocaine, really.
I can believe it. Listen, I can believe it, because I took it. I had like a rebrand that I was doing for the company that I was working at, right? Not to take too much of the podcast time, but we was doing a rebrand. I had to be in St. Pete. I live all the way almost in Wesley Chapel. It was like a 45-minute drive. I had to be in St. Pete at like 5 o'clock in the morning to switch everything over by 8 o'clock to like this new brand, right? So this huge undertaking over like a week. I had to do this like Monday to Thursday. And so for those days, I was like, I'm going to just take the Adderall. I was taking like half of them when the week started. I messed around and accidentally took a whole one day. And that was the last time I took it, because I was up for like 32 hours.
What?
Wow. I was too up. I was like, I do not like this. And you know, I'm very much so hashtag plants over pills. So, you know, I smoke some cannabis sometimes to bring myself down and regulate myself. And it's also probably one of my hacks that I use personally, I think, in my opinion. But man, nothing was working. I was on 10.
Yeah.
And I did not like it. I was like, yep, this is exactly why I don't mess with this stuff.
Yeah, I was diagnosed, or I was prescribed Strattera, which is another one. And it made what it did. So you're like physically hyper.
Right.
Like mentally hyper. Like,
okay.
Mine is like going all the time. And so my doctor ended up giving me, she felt it was better that I take Strattera. It's not really what my therapist wanted, but my doctor did something else. But anyways, I was on Strattera, and like, I felt so calm. Like, I felt like, but not in a good, it didn't feel good to me. I felt so boring. I felt like dull. I felt like, oh, laissez-faire. Like, I was, and come to find out, my therapist was like, yeah, because your mind is naturally just hyperactive. And so what you're feeling is probably what's normal.
In that case, I don't want to be normal.
No. Right. What you feel is probably normal. She's like, it would. But I told her, I was like, it made me feel. Like, and granted, I remember getting like my eyes hurt because I sat at the computer screen for maybe 18 hours. I was working on something, on a project, and I was like, not eating. I didn't get up to eat. I was just straight going. Like, it had me super focused. Like, super focused. Way too focused.
Right. That's the thing. Way, way too focused.
Yeah. Like I felt like, I felt really bored, like boring. I felt foreign and strange. So I stopped taking it. Plus it was like $80 a bottle. So I was like, you know, this is.
What? No, no.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's talk about some ADHD misconceptions. Like, have you ever shared maybe your diagnosis with others and then have received, I know that's like a conversation within the Black community too.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So like, tell us about that.
Some of my family members, the generation before us, or the generations before us, I shunned like the medication and the treatment that I was prescribed. They shunned the idea. They think it's just like, or at least that's what they've at least told me. They're like, you know, you just need to focus. You just need to like sit down and focus, like, and learn how to deal with like normal problems. Like you can't get so worked up, and it's like, you're missing the whole, like, that's not even the half of what's, it's not even a piece of what's going on, honestly. Like, but they feel like people, that what I tell them or when I tell them that, they're like, nah, that's just something that's made up. It's something that we've dealt with for a long time, but they just put something, a name behind it. Cause you know, they want you to take medication, like all type of crazy stuff from like older generations, you know, they got all types of stuff that they'll say.
Like, and control, like I've heard like it's used to control like Black boys or something like
that. Yeah, like all type of stuff. Now granted, I don't take any of the medication, but the diagnosis and like understanding what it is, like it's totally a thing. Like I would never argue that. Mm-hmm. But I personally don't take the medicine. I don't necessarily think it's used to control us. I haven't really looked into it that much, but that's just because I don't give a darn about it. Like, I'm not going to take it no damn way. So neither here nor there for me. I don't know if that's necessarily a good attitude to have, but it's only 24 hours a day. I got so much I can worry about. But that's honestly, that's like the main misconception. Some of the other things, like people say, it, you know, you just have attention issues. Yeah, but nah, it's kind of, but no, but kind of. So those are like the main, what have you heard?
Yeah, like pretty much just, when I've shared with some people, like they would be skeptical about it too, but I've definitely heard it's been used to control black children. But and I felt like I may have thought that too initially until I experienced it myself. And I'm like, oh no, this is real. like for me, focusing on like something is a big deal. And I'll share more in detail, but like, I'm so easily distracted. And it's not ever on purpose. You can be talking to me and my mind is on like three different places. And it's not even about interest to me. Like, it just does that.
And so, yeah, like you want to, like I want to focus on this thing, but like
I can't.
I was struggling.
but yeah, I'm like, you know, people be like, oh, that's all you have to do. But I think as we talk more about mental health, people are starting to realize that this is really a thing. And
right,
obviously technology does play a part, but it's not, it's a difference between like you're being distracted because you're scrolling through social media versus, no, I'm actually trying to work and I hear everything. Like I'm
thinking right,
everything. And so it's a difference. And I think people are starting to see that it's not a fake thing. I actually joined a Facebook group with other people with ADHD. And it's really funny, the memes that they share. It's so relatable. I'll share it with you. But
I was going to say, please do. Yeah, I need that in my life. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. All right, so let's share some hacks. I'm excited to see what you do so I can copy like what you do to stay productive with your ADHD.
One that I actually have used as a child. I'm very competitive. Like, I played sports growing up, all type of stuff like that. So I make things like games, like little competitions, and find like small ways to like reward myself throughout the day to stay on task or to create a space or an environment for me to be successful, knowing that I'm going to get distracted if, you know, yeah, I just leave it to chance. So, you know, one of the things that I do with, you know, making little games out of things and obviously rewarding myself to help with that, I block my scheduling a lot of days so that I know that at a certain time I'm doing a particular task. Same. And I don't do it for long. Like, I max time that I'll ever work on one particular task is probably like maybe 45 minutes, and that's pushing it. Usually it's like 20, 30 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Real quick. That way it's like, I know, don't have my phone in my hand if it's not necessary for whatever the task is, because I only got so much time to do this. And when I finish doing this, I'm gonna reward myself by going and doing something that's on my mind, whether it's laundry or straightening up something or, you know, washing the cars or something like that, whatever it happens to be. And in my mind, in some ways, that's like a reward because it allows me to get up and be active. So I use that as a way to reward myself, but also still maintaining productivity because I'm still getting stuff done. So it's like a little game I play with myself where I schedule block and kind of take my to-do list and break it out throughout the day. That way, if I just leave it to me looking at my to-do list, granted, that can be productive, but I might look at one thing and say I'm going to work on this and my mind be on like three lines down what I'm supposed to be working on. So schedule blocking helps.
Yeah, I agree. I love time blocking. It's the same thing. For me, I do the opposite. So I'll schedule, if I'm working on something, I'll schedule maybe like an hour and a half. Like, I want to get it all done. Or a block of whatever, but maybe 2 hours. Or if it's something small, I'll do like reminders and tasks. I love Google Suite. Everything about Google Tasks, Google Calendar, everything, Google Reminders, but I use it.
If it's like, not on Google Calendar, it might not get done.
Right, it won't get done at all.
No.
Yeah, so.
No, really, hold on. It's talking about an hour and a half?
Yeah.
So that borderline gives me anxiety. Like, to really? Be like,
because you can't.
An hour and a half? Nah, we got to break that up. Yeah. I gotta have at least a 5-10 minute break in there, even if I stretch it to like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And get like a couple 5-minute breaks, like.
No, and see, if I do that, I it won't get done because I'll get distracted. I need to sit down for a set time, no distractions. Don't nobody come bother me. Don't nobody come call me. Everything's on silent, so I can go into deep work and focus. Because if I'm getting up, like, it won't get done, and that could easily happen. So I have to like. And that's giving you anxiety thinking about that, I can tell.
Because in my head, I was going to say, you know what, Nadine, I'm going to try to do that. But as I'm thinking about saying it, I'm getting more anxious. I'm like, nah, I can't commit to that. If I end up doing it, I'll just tell you later, like, guess what I did? Surprise to us both.
Yeah, for me, getting up, like, I know it won't end up. But, my hack, my first hack actually, is make a game out of it. That was my first hack. So I actually have, I'm working on a method, and I'm working on something behind the scenes. Certified that helps people struggle with this exact thing. So.
Okay, boss moves. I like it. I
tried it offline, but it's an actual method that I use, and it's a game. So that helps me to get stuff done. Like, and it's really about the same thing. It's the same thing for you. Like, you, what motivates you is the reward of something else. Like, if I get this done, I can go get this. I can do this. And so it really implements the same thing. And so I found out for me, this idea came from when I found out that around the time I found out that I had ADHD, I also had to, I found out that I had depression and anxiety. And so what I've learned that a lot of people with ADHD, they suffer depression and anxiety as well, because especially if like someone like me who's hyperactive in the mind, your thoughts are constantly going. And so like the reason that people suffer with depression, anxiety, it's because of thoughts or, you know, poorly managed thoughts, or sometimes it's a chemical imbalance, but for people who aren't, it's like, it's your mind and how you control your thoughts. And so like, if you have, if you struggle, if you have ADD or ADHD and you struggle with your thoughts and your mind, and like, it's a lot happening up here, obviously it'll affect your emotional state. Like you'd be depressed because you don't know what's going on. And for me, I remember like, as a child, like, you know, I hated silence. So this is stuff that I would go back. I would go back and remember, like, as a kid, I hated silence. I needed noise because I couldn't deal with the silence because the thoughts kept going. Like I would think about multiple things. I'm like, you know, and so I needed the silence.
Do you deal with that today, or is that just?
I don't deal with that as I now. I can deal with silence. I love silence now because I figured out how to manage my thoughts. But when I didn't, it was a lot of noise up here. And so I would use music and like sleep with a TV on just to like fall asleep, just to drown out what's going on in my mind. So, but yeah, like at the time I was dealing, I say all that to say, at the time I was dealing with depression. And so I created a game. Like I did it with a few materials that was laying around and it started working. I did it for like a week and I was like, okay, 2 weeks, a month happened, I'm like, oh, this actually helps. I had a friend of mine, at the time he was a coworker as well, he tried it. He was like, and I believe he has ADHD too. And I believe he struggled with focus at the time. And so he was like, yeah, this is dope. You know, this would be really great. And so I had him try it. I had a couple of friends try it. It's been vetted. I'm saying a lot. It's been vetted. And so, but like it actually does help people with it. Like if you have a game and you have a reward system, something to work towards, it's the motivation in getting stuff done. So I definitely agree with the game part. Like that's a go-to for me. That's a go-to hack for me.
Well, listen, you got to put me on because clearly we both use that hack. So you making boss moves. I know you got to handle what you got to handle behind the scenes, but put your boy on because I love a good hack and I'm super competitive and I love a good reward. So, yeah, I'm about that for sure. That's what's up. Something interesting you said, though, the silence, like I have to be not necessarily in the mood for silence, but sometimes like it's necessary type of thing. But I use music to like, especially when I have to do something for a more, like a longer period of time. Like when I'm inching towards that 45 minutes to an hour time, definitely using music to like, I don't know, keep me steady. It keeps my mind on something in the background so that my mind doesn't get on something else and really start going sideways.
I'm exactly the same way. I think for me, the silence is more so like meditation, or if it's like, you know, I'm going to sleep. Like sometimes silence, like good drive when silence is good, but music.
Oh, yes. Silence is top five.
So like the music though, when it comes to focus and getting work done, like, I don't know that I could do it without music. Like
I'm telling you. Oh man. Yeah, for sure. The music helps a lot. And then I've been getting into yoga. So that's another time where silence kind of helps get my zen on a little bit, zen out.
Was music one of your hacks?
It wasn't one that I was going to say, but when you said that, it made me think. I was like, wow, I use music as a hack. It's
definitely. Yeah, you stole my hack.
No, I didn't mean to steal. That's not even when I... So just take that all back and I'll just go into the other hack that I had.
Okay.
Just take it all back.
Okay. Go
And I'll go into the other hat, and then you can tell me about how you use music. And I'll tell you about how I use music.
All right.
Okay. All right, cool. So now, so my other hat, honestly, is going back to what I said, like the cannabis, like and CBD. And when I say cannabis, hemp, let me make sure I be specific for people so that they understand. I'm talking CBD, what's, you know, federally legal. I'm talking medical marijuana, cannabis, hemp. But yeah, that's definitely CBD, whether it's oil or tea, because I really like tea. I really like coffee, but I'm trying to get off coffee.
Tea is good. Tea is amazing.
I'm trying to get on more tea. So there's a couple of CBD teas that I really, really like and that help me out. It gives me like a boost and it also gives me like the focus. Mm-hmm. So it's great. Obviously, you know, they have other benefits.
So for
that's,
people
that's who my hack.
Want to have the benefits of cannabis without the THC, like, can we talk a little bit about CBD? Like, what do you recommend? Because I remember you, I think I saw you share CBD drops for like concentration or whatever.
And I yeah, like the concentrate, the oils. Yep.
Yeah. I ended up going to, someone had shared with me like an actual health store here. And I went and I bought like a specific bottle. I put a few drops in my coffee at the time and it actually worked. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This isn't a joke. So like, share a little bit about like CBD and what you use and what people should look for when they're looking for like CBD products.
My number one rule, and I tell people this all the time and they laugh, but it's so serious because, you know, it's a booming industry right now, but do not get your CBD from the gas station. That's the number one thing to look for. Like, please don't do it. I hear so many people have these horror stories and I ask them, well, you know, what product did you get? And they say, oh, this the stuff that I got from the gas station around the corner. I'm like, oh my gosh. But CBD, honestly, is great. It's derived from the sativa plant. Like we were talking about sativa versus indica. It comes in many different forms. Topicals, they work, honestly, more for pain.
Yeah.
And bodily aches and stuff like that. From a focus standpoint, you have drops, you have edibles that you can use, you have the actual flower that you can either use in tea. People turn it into like a herbal blend and make teas out of it, or you can obviously smoke it in a number of different ways. Me personally, there's a couple of different ways that I like to use it. I love my teas, as I mentioned. And there's one that from a black woman actually, just started a business. And I'm really, really liking her stuff. That's the one way that I probably use it on a daily basis. Drops, if I don't have a CBD tea or if I'm drinking coffee that day, I'll probably put a couple of drops in my coffee. But if you don't put it in your coffee, if you don't put the concentrate in water, a lot of people like to use because they come in different flavors. You can get like peppermint and lemon, stuff like that. And you can put it in water even if you don't drink coffee. Or you can just put it directly under your tongue and hold it there. Yeah. Typically say for about 30 seconds. And then, you know, that's another great way to take it. And then the flower, like I like to use the flower from time to time, still in the daytime. Like I'll just roll CBD flower. I have edibles. I use my flower.
Does the CBD flower, does that have THC in it?
No. So it's 0.3% or less of THC, which that's like total a lot of times THC. So you have the Delta 9 and you have Delta 8. THC. Delta 9 is the high THC. Typically CBD, and this is something that you should check for in packaging when you're looking at the lab results, make sure that it has 0.3% or less. That's the legal limit. That's the federally legal limit. Mm-hmm. So check your labels. That's one thing that you absolutely must do. In the state of Florida specifically, labels have to have QR codes. Any packaging has to have a QR code that you can scan with your phone. And then that has to take you to the site or wherever they have the lab report stored. And you can actually go look at the terpene profile. And the terpene is all the other different elements of the plant. that are included in the overall. And within that, you can see exactly how much THC, how much Delta 9, Delta 8, total THC, how much CBD is within that particular product that you have. So those are definitely the things that you want to look for. Make sure that you understand that there's broad spectrum and there's full spectrum CBD. And, you know, full spectrum, it includes all of the different elements of the plant, whereas broad just has most of them. It's like a broad stroke. Full is like all of them. So broad versus full, you may feel different effects. Full is considered to be a little bit, not necessarily stronger, but it includes all of the elements. So you're getting all the benefits that come from the plant. So full spectrum is my go-to personally. I prefer edibles or flower or teas. Drops if I don't have anything else. And that's a very common and easy way. You can just put it in anything, usually pretty flavorless. You can get them mostly flavorless. Some have some really tart flavors, I will be honest. So just be mindful of that. But yeah, it's CBD is great. I use it all the time. Definitely a hack.
Yeah, I think I have some chocolate flavored oil drops for focus.
Ooh, chocolate. How is that? I haven't tried that one. I've tried a lot of stuff. I haven't tried chocolate. You got to put me on.
It was cool.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I see you. What you got? Talk to me about the music hack. Because one thing I do like doing, I do like having my CBD and my music at the same time. Them some of my most productive moments right there.
Listen. Well, music is definitely a go-to for me. You were talking about how, like, music, for you, music puts your, like, mental in order. But scientifically, music does help stable, like, your mind. And so there's this book that I read called Limitless by Jim Quick. He talks about just various ways, like how to learn better, like read faster, and just like certain things you could do to improve your mind. And he talks about music actually helping with focus. And so for me, ever since college, undergrad, I've listened to classical music. I listen to classical music. Sometimes jazz, but mainly if I'm listening to jazz, it's like classic jazz. Then it actually depends on the mood for me. So it just depends on what I'm doing. So if I'm writing and I'm doing something that requires me to write or read, if it's dealing with words, I won't listen to music that has words in it because I can't pay attention to the words I'm reading or the words I'm writing. If there is words in the music, I'm listening to the words in the music. So I make sure I listen to instrumentals or classical music, or I love Hans Zimmer. So I'll listen to like the Dark Knight soundtrack or Inception soundtrack. So all weird stuff that I've been made fun of for doing for my friends, but it's cool, it's whatever. But then if it's creative work, I'll listen to like music like I enjoy, like R&B, you know, hip hop. Like if it's a mood I'm trying, like I've like for the past couple years I've been listening to like chill pop. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Chill
pop. I was gonna say I love listening to some chill hop. That's my go-to.
It's I don't know. For me, I'm really big into like mood, and so like the type of music for me, it affects my different levels of productivity. So that's huge hack for me, like music. And classical music, studies that shows that it does actually help with your brain waves. And so I don't know, try it sometime.
I'm going to give classical music a try. Like, I don't dislike classical music. I like jazz. I enjoy jazz. I enjoy my chill hop playlist that I have on YouTube. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a try. I don't necessarily know if I'm gonna try to go for an hour and a half, but I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah.
Get a good 30, 45 minute session in.
Yeah, I can, you know, like, cause I've been doing this thing where I'm making playlists and sharing them just cause, but at some point I'm gonna share a classical music playlist, things that I've listened to, you know, go-tos. That and there are actually playlists on Spotify and Apple that are specifically set, made for like classical relaxation music or classical study music. And so I'll send you a playlist and I'll share it, and you know, we'll get you right.
Help me out now, because you, like I say, I listen to my music. So help me out, because you said something interesting. I listen to music by the mood that I'm in. Not necessarily the mood that I'm necessarily like trying to work in, but that is a great way to look at it, because I don't necessarily need to listen to Young Jeezy when I'm trying to do something with words, because I might your mind will play tricks on you. You'll be done wrote something that you what did not mean to write. Like, yeah, you'll be writing something real eloquent, and then randomly you'll see Trap Star and you'll be like, where'd that come from? That's not right.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I gotta see you talking about taking my hacks. I'm taking all your hacks.
It's good stuff. This was good stuff. I mean, I could go on about the different things that I do. Do you have any more hacks you want to share?
So we talked about the music. We talked about the CBD, the hemp cannabis. We talked about, you know, making everything a game of competition and the block scheduling. Dang, what else do I do? Oh, so I have whiteboards. You probably can't see them around me, but I have like whiteboards like everywhere. Like it's one back there. It's one over here on the floor next to me. It's one right there. I like those because, like you said, sometimes we have a lot of things going on in the head. If I like get it all out and I can see it, I can better organize it.
That's good.
And like break each thing out into different plants.
Yeah.
So, and I can look at them when I'm, you know, around the house doing something else, rewarding myself. I can still see it. So it can still be on my mind, but my mind is in a different place. And sometimes that inspires different ideas, different creativity. So I probably have like 6-7 whiteboards that's just around the house. I just cleared one. What I do is it's like a process. I'll if it's like a big idea, I'll put it on the whiteboard. Eventually, like I'll write through the plan of it, and then eventually that'll go into like a Google Doc, because we use Google for everything. And if it's not there, it's probably not gonna happen. But in there, that's when I, you know, really break it down and start putting things in action. And then I'm able to, once I get it there, I'm able to go clear the board. And that's like a thing for me, being able to see that I clear the board. Cool. Yeah. And that makes me feel like I can put something else on it too. Yeah. So
I typically, I'll use like, you know, my game, but I'll use like if I need to brainstorm, I usually have it written, or like I have sticky notes everywhere. But I have recently been like researching some like white, I want like the whiteboard that's on the easel. So like when I'm in the middle of thinking through something, like from need to process something out, like you could have an idea, but you need to like connect the dots. Like I can, you know, just go to a whiteboard and do that. And so, yeah, I'm gonna definitely try that and then take that and, for me, like I use project plan. So put in a project plan.
Yep.
And then wipe the board. And that's like, okay. I like that. I'm still in that.
That's one I gotta make sure I put out there, because it's a process that has, especially, you know, as I've gotten older and I've, you know, tried to get myself involved in more things, it's been a tried and true process for me to step by step get through something and see it through. Because that's another thing that sometimes I have a challenge with. I'll have this great idea and then I'll be like, all right, cool. Somebody else go do it.
Yeah.
So that's a great way for me to like actually follow through. An easel is a good option. know, you go height challenge. So it's a good option. I have mine up on the wall so yeah. I can like
pay. I need to be able to reach it.
Yeah, I understand. It's cool. Isla is a good idea though. That's smart. Know yourself. What else you got? Because you've been having the dope hacks. What else you got?
Well, this one's really basic. For me, it's the environment. Like my environment matters. It has to speak to me. I like to have, I don't like a lot of stuff, and I like my stuff to be organized, but at the same time, sometimes I allow myself chaos just for, I'm although I have ADHD, I'm also creative. So I need a little bit of chaos sometimes.
And so work well under pressure.
Yeah. And so I need natural light. I don't like fluorescent lighting. Like during the day, it needs to be, the only light that's coming is from the sun. And at night, it has to be like warm light. Like it has to be minimal. I hate fluorescent lighting. You know, it's just my environment really matters. If my environment is like super cluttered and like I don't like it, it's going to be hard for me to get anything done. So that's always important. But
same that's question. A good one. I feel that one. I can relate to that one because it's like I don't feel like I can like relax if like I don't like have the kitchen clean. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's related to my ADHD. Like, it's like, I can't.
Yeah.
Any kind of obsession. Still working on that. Yeah. A little bit, but we're working on that.
What else you got?
Oh, let me see. I'm trying to think. Project planner is a good one.
What do you do if you're like stuck?
If I'm stuck?
Like if you're stuck on something, or you don't have the motivation or the drive to do something. I know you do rewards, but like you're maybe like a mental block. What are you doing? You have a mental block.
So I actually just did this past weekend. Unplug. Mm-hmm. Like I will just like shut everything off. I'll go on Instagram and be like, I'm taking a break. I'll see y'all when I get back. And whether it's, you know, I like go to the beach and like listen to the waves, or I have apps on my phone where I can just like kind of listen to different sounds of nature, go for a walk, whatever it is that a walks usually help out a lot too. A walk or a run, those are great when I'm having a block. But when I'm really, if I really need to, like generate some ideas, I'll totally unplug from like all of social media. Cause you know, sometimes we're so tied to it. It's always there. And then like I use it to like help promote, you know, my different businesses. So sometimes just getting away from it is very important.
Yeah. I have this love-hate relationship with social media because I'm in digital marketing, my day job. And so, you know, constantly on, like, there's no break, real break for me with social media. So, like, even personally using it is like a struggle because I'm like, I use it during the day and I, you know, and so it's a struggle. It's a love hate thing. And so I definitely get unplugging and being away from it. Sometimes I'll take breaks from certain platforms and not all of it if I need to, but like, it's better when you don't have the voices of the masses, voices of people you don't even know in your mind. And so, right. And if you don't unplug, you end up consuming a whole bunch of stuff and you don't, without really realizing what you're consuming, it creeps up on you. So
I find myself, I get really, like, if my mind feels very cluttered and I can't, and I don't feel like I can get a clear thought out, usually it's because, like, I've just been consuming so much on social media and it's time for me to take a break. Now, typically, I don't take too many breaks from Twitter because that's more of, like, my entertainment and where I go to sometimes get breaks as a reward for myself in the middle of the day and go scroll Twitter for 5 minutes. But the other, like Facebook, Instagram, I'll take a cool break from those. Tomorrow, my break ends, actually. Also, I guess speaking on that and something I learned a while ago, I batch my content so I don't feel like I have to be on every day. Like it'll be posts going up and I'll be nowhere near my phone.
Yeah.
Because I planned it out. Mm-hmm. But it also makes me feel like I don't have to spend so much time on social media.
Yeah.
So that helps too. I guess that's another, that's a hack within a hack.
Yeah. Well, then for myself personally, I read this book called The Myth of Multitasking, and it talks about how multitasking is fake and it's not a real thing. And he gave like a scenario where he had a client who she would be working on something and she would get an email, and she would, in between working on something, she's answering an email. And it's like, what you're doing is you're switch tasking. Mm-hmm. So you think you're working on two things at the same time, but in essence, the way our mind works is that you're technically working on one thing, but it's taking you longer to get back into what you were doing before because you keep breaking up that concentration with going back and forth.
Right.
So like I get the not answering or checking your email twice a day. Yeah. Because if you're constantly getting emails and everything is a priority,
right. You feel obligated to answer the email as soon as you see it. And if I'm in like a creative zone or if I'm recording a video, I can't break, especially if I know, like I said, my time blocking is more like quick, like 30, 45 minutes max, hour, maybe hour. And I know that I only have so much time to get it done. So I don't have time to check my phone because I got to reward myself after this. Like, no, this email going to have to wait.
I get that.
I'm a stickler about that one. But the other distractions, like locking your phone, I don't know. I might get mad at that.
I haven't tried it yet because, again, sometimes we struggle with our mind jumping to different things, but sometimes that works in my favor. Like I said, like ADHD could be a superpower. Like it's how you manage it. And so for me, I feel like it helps me to be like more strategic, and I'm able to really do some deep work. And so like if my phone is locked, if I'm doing something, I have an idea and my phone is locked, sometimes I want to put, I have a specific place in my phone I want to put my ideas. And so instead of just like, I don't want to forget something, I'll just unlock my phone and write something. Or right. Doing something, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes I like to Google on my phone rather than Google on my computer. So
I hate Googling on my computer. I do not like it.
At all.
Like my computer, it's probably a bad thing. That's probably why I have my phone so much, because for like what I call little stuff, I'll just use my phone. And then like, I know when I break out my computer, I'm about to really do some work. Like I'm really about to do some work. But most times if I'm just going to Google something real quick, or I got to look something up, or I need like a specific term or something, quick phone Google.
Yeah.
Super fast, put it down, done. And I might get mad at that app and be like, the next time I can open the phone, I'm deleting the app.
Yeah, I try like the other like screen lock things, but I don't like being restricted. So
don't restrict your superpower.
Yeah. So
don't restrict your superpower. I like how you put that, because I've looked at it like a superpower for a long time, but I didn't really know. It's like a competitive advantage in a way, because I'm always like.
Yeah, my favorite thing about it is honestly. Although like people with ADHD, you struggle with having focus sometimes, or most times. Once you're there, it is the most amazing thing. Like being in a state of flow is the most, I feel like it's a high like no other, because you're doing something that you enjoy. You're like in deep work, you're focused, and you're, you know, for me, producing good results because you're focused on the thing that you love to do. And so most people don't experience that flow state, but once you, and it's in that book that I was reading called Limitless, but once you find it and you're there and you know how to get to it, it ends up being a practice of, okay, like that's where classical music come in for me. Like I know classical music helps me to get into deep work. So I'm going to play classical music and I'm going to set my environment up to make it, to make sure that I can get myself into a state of flow and get some work done.
Right.
So
I like it. I watch a little anime. I was watching Avatar: The Last Airbender. I call it my Avatar state. It's like when everything kind of locks in for me and I'm like, oh, got
it. Yeah.
Produce the best work, like amazing work. Absolutely right. Because you enjoy what you're doing and you finally hit that stride.
That's true.
I got to check out that book though, Limitless. Yeah. I like the movie Limitless. I got to check out the book.
Well, I definitely appreciate you doing this. This is really good. I've learned a lot from you, and hopefully the people that listen to this that struggle or think they may have ADD or ADHD are able to gain from what you and I both shared about what works for us and being productive. And even if you don't have like ADHD or ADD or, you know, there are other neurological disorders like dyslexia and whatnot, even if you don't suffer those things, this is good to help with increasing like your focus and your concentration, and it's good life hacks, period.
No, I was just gonna say it's also a good awareness for people who don't struggle with any sort of mental disorder of any sort. It helps raise the conversation and kind of eliminates or helps to eliminate stigmas around it. So even if you don't, I hope you got something out of this, because this is a great conversation. I appreciate you, you know, allowing me the opportunity to join your platform and talk with you about productivity hacks and ADHD and just how it's just kind of shaped and driven my path in life. Honestly, it's been very, very interesting. But plugs, man, you can find me on Instagram if I'm not taking a break at DJ The King. That's two E's, K-I-N-G. You can check out the podcast where we talk about all things dope with some really, really amazing guests. You can follow that Instagram handle at Midas Touch Podcast. And then Saved by the Treats, the edibles, always check them out. If you're interested in any CBD treats or you want just a delicious snack, check out Saved by the Treats on Instagram as well. Yeah, that's where I'm usually at. Everything else, you can find the link in my bio to the website and all that good stuff for everything.
Cool.
And again, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
I appreciate you too.